welcome to our service this morning. It's nice to have lots of people, nice to have some new faces and a baby to keep the kids amused. If you wonder where the children have gone, they're all at the back. Shall we start with family news? Have we got any family news to share today? Thank you. Has anyone done a prayer request form that they haven't given to me for prayers?
You'll learn. And also to let you know that I sent money to the London City Mission, £250 was what we donated to them.
Any more notices? What have we got on this week? We've got Girls Brigade on Monday, Tea and Chat on Tuesday, Bible Study Wednesday night on Zoom. I think the Thursday afternoon one's still meeting, aren't you? Yeah, people are nodding.
Church meeting this afternoon.
Church meeting this afternoon at 2 o'clock for church members. Please come if you can. And prayers every morning at 8:45 on Zoom, every day during Lent, which unfortunately I forgot on Thursday morning. I got a phone call, where are you? So, yeah, even the person who arranged it can forget things sometimes. I won't do it again. Have we got any birthdays this week? And Father, as we join together at the beginning of this service, we come to you to worship you. Would you still our hearts from those things that have been bothering us throughout the week? Would you open our minds to hear your voice? May we know your presence in this place and glorify your name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We're going to sing our first hymn, Crown Him with Many Crowns. You can stand if you feel able, or you can stay seated if you prefer.
Hold on.
Thank you.
shall we come to a time of prayer now? We've heard some prayer requests. Can we have our prayer box up, please, Deb? We come to praise the Lord of life, the Lord of love, the Lord of peace, the Lord of the East. And as that Lord, we come before you to pray for those people on our hearts and in our minds. And Lord, we pray too for the situations in the world that concern us. And perhaps in a time of quiet, you want to just call out a name, a place, a situation to bring before God. For those places in the world where there is conflict. For Afghanistan, Yemen, Ethiopia, and we pray especially for Ukraine at the moment. We pray with Christians throughout the world. That was shared with me last week. God of peace and justice, we pray for the people of Ukraine today. We pray for peace and the laying down of weapons. We pray for all those who fear for tomorrow, that your spirit of comfort would draw near to them. We pray for those with power over war or peace, for wisdom, discernment and compassion to guide their decisions. And we pray for your precious children at risk and in fear, that you would hold and protect them. We pray in the name of Jesus, the Prince of Peace. And Lord, we continue to pray too for COVID, which is still ongoing throughout the world. As we learn to live with it, would you give us wisdom and care for one another? We pray for your church throughout the world meeting today. Would you bless, strengthen and guide it to do your will and share your gospel. And we pray especially for this church as we have our church meeting this afternoon. May we meet in love and attentiveness. May we be guided by you to bring a blessing to this world. Amen. We're going to sing again. You laid aside your majesty. Thank you. are in the time of Lent now. And we've switched in our sermons, in our series. We've finished our series that we were doing. Oh no, we haven't finished. We're breaking from the series that we were doing through the books of the Bible. We only got to Song of Songs. We've got plenty more to go. We will come back to it. But we're going back to the Gospel of Matthew. And we'll come to our reading in a moment. But we've been talking in our Bible studies about what a leader looks like. We know, don't we, that Jesus drew a distinction in the Bible between earthly leaders who lord it over the people, who claim the power and prestige, and his style of leadership, which is service and sacrifice. And we might quite like Jesus' style of leadership. We might like to follow someone who isn't dictating, but is serving, who leads by example, who teaches us and helps us as we go through our lives. But before we jump into that, we're going to have an exercise on following. And Caitlin's going to come and lead us in a game of Follow My Leader. And I encourage anyone, children and adults, to join in. So if the kids want to come up, I'm going to move this out of the way just because I can see people tripping over. Come up. And before Dad gets his phone out, can you put the video clip yep. on, Dad? We're just going to have some music while we do it. So I thought this song was appropriate. So Caitlin, you're leading us from wherever. If you can join in. Caitlin, go. Teacher in the law wanted to follow him. A teacher wanted to follow a carpenter. If Jesus had been a normal person, it would have been an honour for this teacher to be admiring him and want to follow him. But Jesus needed him to know that it wasn't going to be all wonderful. He didn't make promises, didn't try to persuade the man to come. He told it like it is. The man would be following a leader who, while he might be popular, had nothing. And if you're going to follow him, it's going to get difficult. And we saw that sometimes it gets difficult. And this other guy, described as a disciple, also wants to follow him. But not yet. Let me bury my father, he says. Most commentators on the Bible will say that his father probably wasn't dead. Not that he wants to. When my father's dead and buried, then I'll follow him. Not that he wants to follow him. Yeah, sorry, that came out slightly wrong. When my father isn't around anymore, then I'll come and follow you. And maybe we all have things that we could use in that way. They're not bad things. This guy isn't making excuses per se. He's not finding reasons not to follow. It's quite possible that he wanted to look out for his family. But Jesus knows more than his listeners do that he's not actually going to be around forever. His time on earth is limited. The opportunity that this disciple has to follow him isn't something that can wait for a more convenient time. My commentary said it was a warning against missing the boat. I don't know if that's a deliberate choice of words, but it's a very appropriate one, as we'll see in a minute. But the point is, sometimes decisions have to be made now, not put off until some indefinite day in the future. And the time when Jesus is calling you isn't a time for procrastination. I struggled this morning to find hymns. Funnily enough, we don't often sing about how much Jesus asks us to give up or how difficult it might get. We don't sing about missed opportunities. But these are realities in Jesus' life and discipleship. There's a song that says, "Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee." We know that one. "Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. Take my silver and my gold. Take my will and make it thine. It shall be no longer mine." All good stuff. Do we really mean it? Someone once said Christians don't tell lies, they sing them. We say we'll give everything to Jesus, but almost on the understanding that he isn't really going to ask us to. "I'll go wherever you want, as long as what you want is for me to stay here." Because following gets difficult. So we are going to sing again, but I think what we need is a bit of strength and courage to follow. So we're going to sing, "Be bold, be strong, for the Lord your God is with you."
I am not afraid, no, I am not despised.
Now, I'm going to ask a favour this morning. I need someone to do a reading for me from the children's Bible.
And then?
So it's nice and easy, it hasn't got any difficult words. I was going to grab Debbie, but Debbie didn't come. Linda, are you putting your hand up? Chloe, I need you to do something else. So. No, Linda, you can do the reading and Chloe can help me with the activity. If you can come up. I'm going to ask the kids to come up as well. So it's this one here. And we can put, if you can put the words of the actual reading on the... Yeah, is that okay? But if you just wait a second, because I need some children. Come on, kids. We're doing an act. We're acting it out while Linda reads it. Yes, microphone would be good, wouldn't it? Actually, I'll get you that one. And then you can have it on a stick.
Biscuits!
They won't. Right, what I need, can we pull this out? Right, I need... Right, rest it on the floor in the middle. Right. That's it, that way. Right, I need... Who's going to be Jesus for me? I need a Jesus. Yeah. You get to fall asleep, right? You sit there then.
Because you didn't say it.
Because Natalie asked. Right, you grab that corner. Right. Go on. Okay, Linda. I think it's alright. I think we'll manage. Can you hear okay? Can you hear Linda okay?
The storm on the lake. It had been a long, tiring day. Jesus had been teaching and healing the crowd on the lake shore since early morning. Now the deep blue of sky and water was fading. Night was near. "Let's cross the lake," Jesus said. And the disciples thankfully climbed into the familiar boats and got busy with the sails. Most of the people began to drift off home. "Sit there in the stern on the cushion, Master," they told Jesus. No. With fishermen to sail the boat, Jesus was in good hands. His head had no sooner touched the cushion than he was fast asleep. Quietly, the disciples got to the boat underway. But even the most experienced fishmen on Lake Galilee feared the storms that could blow up within a few moments. Suddenly, the wind began to moan. And then he howled and shrieked and was struggling to escape from the narrow lake.
And where is that?
Locked in among the high hills all around. The waves rose high, popping over the side of the boat. The tame, gentle lake had challenged him for a wild and snarling beast. The disciples worked with all their might, bailing out the foaming water as it swirled around their feet and legs. But however fast they were, more water kept pouring over the sides. Soon, they knew the boat would fill and sink. They would all be in the water, fighting the fierce currents below. They turned to find Jesus. To their astonishment, they saw that he was still asleep. Two of them shook him by the shoulder. "Wake up," they shouted above the noise of the wind. "Don't you care that we're all going to be drowned?" Jesus stood up at once. He spoke directly to the wild, shrieking wind. "Be quiet," he ordered. Then he looked out at the waves. "Be still," he said to them. At once, with scarcely a last whimper, the wind died down and the waves subsided into a melting froth of foam. Then Jesus turned to the disciples. "Why were you frightened?" he asked them. "Didn't you trust me?" But they didn't answer. They were almost as scared by what Jesus had done as by the storm itself. "Who is he?" they whispered. "Hey, never heard of a man who could give orders to the weather and be afraid."
Hey, everybody here!
It sounded good, but I couldn't see what was going on.
Thank you, guys. What's that? Do you want to... Yeah, it'll interfere with mine, or mine will interfere with it. I really should be a bit more organised with my sermon schedule. Because everything I might want to say about this, I said when I preached a few weeks ago on Psalm 46, which said, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. I was at another church a couple of weeks ago and we heard a sermon on this. It happened to be the day after Storm Eunice. It's hard to think of anything more scary than being out in the sea in a fishing boat in a storm, but maybe this one comes close.
Yes.
Decided that actually they weren't quite able to land safely. I wonder if Jesus had been sleeping on that plane when the people would have been waking him up. We're going to crash!
Yeah.
I'm reminded of a joke. A priest, I don't tell jokes very often, I'm not very good at it, but this is one of my favourites. A priest and a taxi driver arrived at the gates of heaven at the same time. And Peter was there and he welcomed them both and he gives the taxi driver this ornate robe and this gold crown. Come in, bless you, it's so good to see you. And the priest thinks, oh, if that's what the taxi driver gets, what am I going to get? And Peter hands him a plain robe and a wooden crown. Come in, bless you, it's so good to see you. And the priest looks at him, what's going on? I've been a priest for years, I gave my life to the church. How comes I get a wooden crown and he gets a gold one? And Peter answers him, you see, up here we work on results. While you were preaching, people slept. While he was driving, people prayed. Isn't theologically accurate when it comes to its portrayal of heaven? But we do, don't we? Even those people who don't normally think of God suddenly remember him in an emergency. How much more did the disciples rely on Jesus when things got difficult? They left him as long as they could. He was tired, he needed to rest. They tried to look after him. But it got to a point where these experienced fishermen realised they needed to wake him up. Lord, save us, we're going to drown. And he rebukes them, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? Seems a bit unfair, really. They've woken him up, haven't they? They've asked him to save them. What's lacking in faith? Anyone would be afraid in those physical situations. And it's hard to grasp what was so wrong, to be honest with you. Perhaps Jesus realises they don't actually expect him to do anything. Perhaps he realises that they only woke him up so they could have another hand on the ropes rather than waiting for a miracle. They were certainly amazed when the miracle came. They'd seen his power over disease and sickness, but the thought of his power over the tremendous forces of nature was just incredible to them. I can't help wondering whether they could have woken him up before, when it started to get a bit choppy. But then why would they? These were experienced fishermen. They were used to dealing with a bit of wind. And the wind picked up a bit more. Okay, we can still deal with it. And a bit more, yeah, it's getting a bit hard now, but we're too busy now trying to deal with it on our own to go and ask Jesus. Until the point where they say, actually, no, we can't do this. That's the point where the aeroplane gives up on the landing and goes back up again. No, it's all too much now. And then they ask Jesus. Why is that? Why do we always wait until the very last moment? Why do we keep trying to deal with things in our own strength rather than just going to God when it starts to get a bit choppy. There's a line in a song that I love that says, when we've reached the end of our earthly resources, the Father's full giving is only begun. It's as though we have to get to that point of acknowledging that we can't do it, for God to step in and do it for us. Perhaps this is why the Pharisees had such trouble with Jesus' teaching, because while they thought they could rely on their own behaviour, they couldn't accept what God had to offer. And what he had to offer was more than just a bit of help, it was a whole revolution in the situation. Jesus didn't just pull on some ropes and help them to handle the boat. He calmed the entire storm. The world feels like it's in a bit of a storm at the moment, doesn't it? There are conflicts that are feeling closer and closer to home. Sometimes it seems like God must be asleep, but we know he's not. We know he's there. He's mighty and strong to save. He's our refuge and strength. The world may be in trouble, life may be difficult, but God is present and working. And Jesus isn't our last resort to save us when all else fails. He's there all the time, if we just turn to him. So let's sing again. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Stories about Jesus. Stories that would have been told and retold and some of them written down. They're not usually meant to be read as one story from start to finish, which is why things come in different orders in the different Gospels. The most accurate in that sense is thought to be Luke, who worked slightly more as a historian. Matthew, Mark and John tended to have their own reasons for writing and would arrange things to suit those reasons. So while the stories are true, what I'm saying is they didn't necessarily happen in the order that they're recorded. But they're put together in a certain way for a particular purpose. Luke has these two stories quite definitely separated. Jesus calms the storm and sometime later has that conversation about the cost of being a disciple. But Matthew places them together and in such a way that they're definitely meant to be together. They don't just happen to come one after the other. The first reading we had was introduced with Jesus gave orders to cross to the other side of the lake. The second reading talks about that crossing. Matthew wants us to see this as part of the same story. So what's the message that he wants us to understand? I wonder what those two men who initially wanted to follow Jesus would have thought when the storm came up. I wonder if they too would have thought that those in the boat were going to drown. If they'd gone with him, they'd have been in that boat. They would have endured that storm, that danger, that fear. Jesus had said there would be a cost to following him. Straight away, here is a cost. Perhaps the teacher of the law thought, I did well not to go there. That would have been the shortest discipleship ever before I ended up at the bottom of the sea. Perhaps the disciple who wanted to wait thought, that was a close call, my father could have been burying me. Or perhaps he thought, I've really missed out now. No second chances. We assume that both these men chose not to follow Jesus. And in doing so, they avoided being caught in the storm. They could carry on with their simple lives, with their families, in comfort. But they also avoided the miracle. They never experienced the salvation the disciples found when they gave up trying to do it on their own and put their faith in Jesus. They never saw the power of God at work in their lives and what that meant about who Jesus was. They never got to realise that even though Jesus might lead them into difficulties, he would be in there with them and would be faithful to them and would bring them through it. They never realised all this because one thought it would be too difficult and the other was putting it off. They wanted to follow, but those of us who want to follow Jesus must expect to do what Jesus did. To go where Jesus goes. That's the point of following, isn't it? Jesus' life wasn't one of glory and honour, it was one of hardship and sacrifice. It was a life of service and the cross. It was a life of heading into storms, but trusting in God. And that's what we're called to as well. And just as Jesus responded to people in the here and now, just as he never said, come back later to those who came to him, we can't do that either. We can't say, yeah, I want to go to church, but it's not convenient right now. Yeah, I want to serve you, but I'm a bit busy. Maybe when I retire. Or even, yeah, I want to follow you, but let me enjoy myself first. I want to be baptised to have a new life in Christ, but you know, let me get some sinning out of the way so I don't miss out on anything. Or even, let me get my life sorted first. I'm not good enough to follow you. Come back when I've improved. It doesn't work like that. For a start, what hope have we got of improving without him? But also, the opportunity is now. Jesus stands in front of us now, not offering a life of ease and comfort, but offering a life of hard, rewarding discipleship, inviting us to head off into the storm with him, and in doing so, to experience the presence and power of God in the most difficult of situations. What are we going to do? Will we respond to him, get on board and face the wind and the waves? Or will we miss the boat? I want to just note again that the Bible says that those men were disciples. Not part of the 12, but they were people who had been following Jesus and learning from him. And yet at this point they faced the decision. Would they continue to follow? Or had they reached their limit? I want to ask you then, wherever you are on your walk with Jesus, are you prepared to take the next step? That step will be different for each of us. It may be a step towards asking him to be Lord of your life. It may be a step towards baptism or church membership. It may be a step towards a deeper discipleship. It may be a step towards something he's calling you to do. It won't always be easy. It might involve leaving things behind that you'd rather not leave behind. But the opportunity is there now as Jesus stands before you. So I invite you in a moment of quiet just to listen to God. What does following him look like to you? What does he ask of you? What challenges does that present? Are you willing to go where he has called you? Speaking to you this morning. If there's something specific you'd like to talk about or you'd like prayer for, please come and grab me after the service. I'm around all day. But let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you for this story which reminds us that in the difficulties of discipleship, you have promised to be with us. As we follow you wherever you lead, may we know the power of your Spirit at work within us, granting us your peace in the storm. Would you help us to have faith in you when the world around gets too much? Actually, would you help us turn to you before the world gets too much? We praise you for your power over the storms of our lives and the storms of our world, and ask again for your kingdom of peace and justice to reign over us as individuals, over this church, over this nation, over this world. In your holy name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's sing our final hymn. Will you come and follow me?
Come and follow me if I could go to your name.
on the third page of the prayer box. Would you mind putting it up on the screen for me? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
May the peace of the Lord go with you wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. Amen.